What up, what up, what up? Ta alofa, malo lele.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. We're back for another episode of the Kakao Talk podcast. Today, we are lucky enough to be joined by Henry Coots, also known as Daddy's Judies on Instagram. Welcome, Uso.
What's up, brother?
That's how we found you, actually, was through Instagram. I think you found his videos, and you're like, fuck, this fella's cracker.
No, so what happened, Henry got a hold of us. So Henry was, somehow he found our podcast, and then he messaged me. He was like, oh, bro, funny as podcast. Yeah. And then I looked at his page, and I saw the stuff that you were doing, and I was like, I want to come on the podcast.
Yeah. I try to be funny in a way with Daddy Judies, just to be out there with dads and stuff, so
that's cool. It's relatable, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, hard.
Off the bat, when I saw some of his videos, I was like, yeah, I've done that. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's me.
But you bring humor as well to like the shit that's sometimes uncomfortable. Even when you're talking about your kids, like, you know, you want to knock them out, but you bring, there's like a realness to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but then you also bring humor. You're like, sweet, I can laugh about this, but fuck, that hurts inside too, what you're saying. Mm. So yeah, just want to, yeah, who are you? Because there's so many of us with pages and we talk and there's only so much you can share on an Instagram page. But it's just cool to get to know the person behind the page and your story. Yeah.
All right. So Daddy Judies is a movement that we have created with ourselves, our relationship to help me navigate my way through understanding my children, my childhood traumas, my mental health issues through my journey as a new father. And just before I speak, I just want to apologize in advance to anyone I bring up, as it's not my intention to hurt you, but you have been a part of my journey this far. So, yeah. Oh. So,
nah, that's cool, Luz. So, where the hell are you from?
Dolu. So, I was born in New Zealand. So, I moved over to Australia. I think I was 8 years old. Mm. And I've lived all my life in Brisbane, on the north side of Brisbane.
Yo.
Yeah, so
yeah, I find it interesting because me and Ness are quite new to Brisbane. We've been here for about 2 years, so we're still trying to like sort out what's north side, what's south side, what's out here, what's out there, what are the people like from here. So it's cool having someone on that's actually brought up here, and you kind of understand
how
Brisbane works and everything. Because Brisbane's a trip, man.
Yeah, yeah, hard. So I grew up on the north side. They felt their split difference with north side and south side, so.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good. So,
do you play footy and stuff?
Yeah, I did play footy all my life. So I only stopped playing footy probably like 4 years ago. So, yeah. So I played for Redcliffe Dolphins. They're on the north side of Brisbane. Mm. So, when I first came over to Australia, I played Union for 4 years, and then after that, no one played Union.
Yeah, man, that freaked me out too.
Yeah, so
Union's so small here.
Yeah, so the popular thing here in Australia's league, so I just followed the bandwagon, just went in that.
Yeah. What was your position?
So, honestly, I played on the wing, I played everywhere.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I played second row, I played 5'8", so utility.
Utility back forward.
Yeah, yeah, utility, water boy.
Henry, warm the bench today, eh?
What was it? Yeah, what was your experience, I guess, growing up as a child over in Northside Brisbane? And what was it like
being a humble kid growing up Northside?
Man, tell you the truth, there wasn't that much humbles on the Northside when I first came to Australia. So I probably came to Australia in 1998 or 7. But there wasn't much. All I knew was our family, and there was another family, and then just the church, and I didn't know any other fobs.
Mm.
Yeah, so later, it's like a big Deception base where I used to live in like that area. But growing up as a kid, we had these groups, island groups, but there wasn't that much islanders when I was there. So
would you like venture outside of your circle that much growing up, like outside of your church and friends circle? Or was that like your safety zone? Is that where you
That was my safety zone, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, I was in that group.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing else, just that group.
Like, you weren't really looking for anything else.
Yeah.
You're just happy to.
Yeah.
I sort of understand what you mean. Like, growing up where we grew up and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I never really traveled outside of South Auckland or like, never really went outside of those areas. So, like, when you went out, you're like,
yeah,
I'm from here, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Dude.
But that's not what you were like when I met
No,
you.
Actually, no.
Yeah.
That's just quiet.
What's your name?
Hello. Wanna go out?
Yeah. Far out. But yeah.
Yeah, and what was it like? Because you know you share a lot about, especially recently, like you've done the last couple of videos about, you know, childhood trauma and you're a dad and like breaking cycles. You know, it's a whole new language to learn and understand.
Hard.
What was your experience as a kid, and then how did that kind of, you're like, oh shit, fuck, maybe I need to change something.
Yeah. So my childhood traumas and stuff, I've only come out like for the last couple years. So as a poly kid, you will probably understand with growing as Polynesian, the way we get discipline was getting hidings from our dads. And that's pretty normal for an island kid growing up back in the days.
Like most island kids can relate to each other's hiding stories.
Yeah, hard.
And
you
compare hidings and you're like, that wasn't a hiding.
Yeah, that's nothing. I got a belt. But yeah, growing up, it's like, so I've realized in these last couple of years that so ever since I've had kids, I thought I'll put that onto my kids, that discipline way, the fasa more way onto my kids. And it hit me because there was one time with my partner. So I've been with my partner for the last 3 years now. So we're still fresh. Mm-hmm. Like we're still trying to understand each other. Or we do understand each other, but we're trying to be better as a parents. And having kids is a big different story.
Changes shit up.
It changed my life big time. I was like, holy crap, okay, I need to do something different here.
Because I've got to be an adult. What?
Yeah.
This isn't working.
Yeah. So having kids, I was trying to discipline them by giving them a hiding and stuff. And my partner didn't like that. Like, I don't know. And I was so normalized in that way, that fasa more way, because I grew up my whole years, I'm 34 now, my 30 years, that way teaching and learning off the brothers, my sisters, my parents, by smacking your kids was...
It's like physical discipline.
Yeah, it was just normal.
Yeah.
So it was like, so my partner didn't like it. So I had, it triggered me a little bit because I thought showing them that way was the fasa more way. And I didn't understand that, that's not how you treat your kids. You know, that's not normal. Yeah. My partner used to tell me that.
And even like we were talking about this before we even jumped on the podcast, like their way is not even like the fasam, as we're like describing it as like the fob way or the fasam way. We realize that it's not like they didn't used to beat their kids back in the day.
It's like learned behavior.
It's like authoritarian freaking the cane at school. If you're naughty, these are the results of being naughty.
Hard.
Nothing was really explained. Whereas now we've got the tools to be able to be sit the kids down, explain to them, you know, teach them the lesson.
Yep.
But that's hard, like straight up.
But
like,
it's super hard. Because
we used to smack our like younger, older son. Well, I did.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Fucking liar.
I'm calling child safety.
But we used to smack him and I used to smack him. My bad. Because there's like two good dads here. Fuck you guys. And bro, I feel so shit after. But at the time, it feels like the right thing because I didn't have any other tools to draw on. So there's like all this anger. And I'm like, why the fuck is this kid not listening? And I was like, this will snap him out of it.
Yeah.
And so like giving him that discipline. But then I'd feel shit after in some way.
Yeah.
And then as you get older though, because I was like a smacker, it's still weird to communicate because I'm like, fuck it, but I can just hit this kid too. You know, it sounds shit to say out loud, but it's like I can sit and have a conversation and let's talk about our feelings. But then the back of my mind's still like, yeah, but you can like smack him too, you know. So it's like playing between the two sides, like your old self and trying to be a good person. And
where do you draw the boundaries?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Wow, what's too far by hitting your kids is like growing up, I thought getting the belt was normal. Like it was a normal thing.
Yeah.
Getting the belt. But so.
I think for our parents, like those were the only tools they had at the time.
Exactly.
I mean, now that we're parents and stuff, it's easy when you're growing up to be like, fuck, my dad was a dick. He used to hit me and all of this. And this is his fault. This is why I'm like that. But it's not until you have your own kids and you start to realize, man, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, this is really, really hard. I can understand why they were doing everything in their power to try and keep us in line.
Yep.
Exactly. And whereas now we've got that responsibility to change it up, you know. It's not their fault. That's all they had at the time.
They had no resources, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, my parents grew up in the islands. Knowing them in the islands, they didn't have, like, the internet, Wi-Fi or books or, yeah. So how could someone just, like... Yeah,
where's the information
going to come exactly. from?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same as you saying you're growing up as a kid, like, you're stuck in, like, this little bubble. Mm. You didn't even have access to more. So, like, what you experienced was, like, fuck, this is all I know. Like, these are the only tools I have available.
Yeah. And I was passing that on to my kids. Mm. And apparently the first 1,000 days of a... kids when they're born is the most important part of learning for kids.
The connection with their parents. Yeah.
And if you're smacking their kid, if you're smacking your kids like at that important part of their life, they grow up as like traumas and stuff.
It stays with them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
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 That's what's hard as a parent though, man. Like even me sitting here, I'm like, fuck, I fucked my kid up for the first 1,000 days. But it's something you still have to, like, no one's perfect, no parent's perfect. Exactly. And you have to learn to, like, forgive yourself or even what you were saying before, like, even if your child's 16, 21, 50, whatever, how old they are, you still have a chance to, like, try and start again, you know, show change in some way.
Mm.
Yeah. But, ooh, yuck. Comfortable. Fuck.
Yeah, I think there's also that... superiority complex, like they need to listen to us. Like our parents understood, like we need to listen to them if we're ever going to be like progress in life. If you just leave someone to go, there's no discipline. Just gonna, you know, they're gonna be like every other kid we saw on TV. And our parents were like, there's naughty palangis. That's why they need to smack their kids. And you're like, oh, okay, you know. But it's not until after you're like, oh fuck, maybe
now I understand.
Yeah,
now I know why.
Maybe it's not the discipline. Maybe it's the attention. Maybe these naughty kids are the naughty kids because their parents aren't even there.
Mm.
You know, sometimes the parents are too busy working, or maybe they choose their own lifestyle over the kids. So you can kind of understand why the kid's naughty. Yep. Sometimes if you just sit with the kid, you know, maybe the kid's not naughty. Maybe they just want to hang out with you.
What's the change been for you? Like, you know, you have the old version of yourself and then you learn some shit and then you're like, fuck, I need to change. And then it's easy to say, like, and I learned something and I want to change my life, but like practicing that shit and like waking up every morning and trying to be a better father and a better partner and a better Henry.
And the where it was started, when obviously when the kids were here, that's where it changed. But so I had a lot of childhood trauma, like triggers that I couldn't understand myself. Like my partner will tell me, oh, why do you behave like that? Why do you act like that and stuff? And I went and seeked help. So what I did was I went and seen men's medicine, and that helped me a lot. So
how did you find them?
So I found them through another brother. So he was going to men's medicine. Cool. And then my partner asked me if I wanted to do it. I didn't even know what it was. And then, we just went to the group and, just.
How was that experience? Because that's a whole nother ballgame.
Oh, man. It was good. I loved it, eh? Like, that's where I think I found my growth and started opening up and just understanding myself and trying to heal myself. And... because I had a lot of, so my partner was the one that goes, oh, were you hit back in the days by your parents or you? Oh, yeah, all the time. Like, it was normal.
Mm.
But she thought that, did you know that that's like child abuse and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, well, I feel no pain. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. And then, it's ever since that when I started realizing that all these triggers started happening to myself. Like, I used to get angry just because she used to talk about something, and then that would trigger me off, and then I'll get angry, and then me and her will fight about something that I thought I was perfect, but I wasn't, like, you know what I mean? And then, but yeah, that's where this growth was, the men's medicine, and then I had to seek the help that I needed. Like, and then when after that, I thought I was better after doing the men's medicine. It did help me, but this thing behind my head was still playing up with me, like these triggers that I still had inside of me that I needed to get sorted. So I went and seeked help. I went to psychology and all that. What else did I do? I was diagnosed with anger management by my doctor. So I did counselling, a lot of counselling, just to understand why I have these triggers and all this and all that. But yeah, so
bloody hell, man, that's awesome. I know for for a lot of men, seeking help is seen as like weakness. It's like, man, look at this pussy going to his. But I don't think people realize how important it is until you have your own kids. Yeah. And you look in the mirror and you're like, you see all your fucked up shit.
Mm.
And then you're like, oh man, I'm passing that on to my kid.
Yeah.
Like I need to figure some shit out. You almost got to like humble yourself and admit you don't know everything. Like you don't know like how to do stuff.
Yeah.
And you do need this outside help.
Yeah. And the best thing about, well, I had to own my shit. I had these toxic traits, this toxic mind of thinking that I was the best or I was so perfect, like all that. And then, yeah, I didn't like it. It's like I knew myself I couldn't be better, but I had these bad habits in me that I wanted to get rid of, but I didn't know how to. But, this last couple years has changed a lot. And maybe it was because of my environment that I was with on the north side of Brisbane that, like, I'm not throwing them under the bus, but it was just that environment that I was around that I had to change myself to be a better person.
Mm.
Like, I had to get away.
Yeah, it's like that environment was flavoring the person you were.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not a personal thing. Like, I love how you said, like, environment. You know, it's the place. It's the not only the people. It's the people that you bump into at the shops. Yeah. And people expect you to be the Henry or the Vanessa or the Gerhard that they're always with. And then a part of you is like, but I want to change.
Yeah. And the thing is with change, like, when they see the change in you, they're like, it feels like they're picking on you, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, they're, like, poking at you, like, oh, look at this guy. This guy's fucking changed.
Yeah, yeah. Like, change is almost seen as a negative thing. Like, I remember... Like,
I'm trying to better myself.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, you're trying to better yourself as a person. And
like, that was, like, a mock when we were growing up. Like, what are changes, dude?
Yeah,
what
you
are
know,
changes,
yeah, dude? Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
But isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Man. But, yeah, it's super important, just the whole recognizing, you know? Yeah. I think it's, you know, they talk about this woke culture all the time. Oh, this is, you know, I'm woke. I don't believe in that. I'm woke. I think the culture that's coming up is like self-awareness.
Yeah.
People are more aware of the shit inside themselves, and they're also more aware of the shit that they're pushing out. It's all good to be woke and have this new information and be telling everyone how to think. This is this, do that, do this. But not many people like stand in the mirror and like do some self-reflection and realize like a lot of the shit's inside themselves that they need to like work out. It's not about taking on new information to share with people or trying to teach people how to think or like what to do.
Yeah.
It's about like figuring yourself out.
Yeah.
The sooner you figure yourself out, man, it colors everything in your life.
Yeah. And you start, as soon as you figure yourself out, you start to understand how people, their energy, and you start to look at people, they're like, oh, crap, like, I was in that boat. Like, all you can do is, like, if you're in that boat that you, that person you are like, all you have to do is just understand them.
That's
just
it.
Understand what they're going through. You can't, like, judge them as, like, where I stayed, the environment will judge, as Islanders, judgmental people. You know what I mean? Like, we just judge each other, like, joke around, we tease each other. But it's normal.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has played a big part of my life. Mm. Like, getting judged, like, don't do that. That's crap.
Mm.
Yeah, that's, like, nah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, this guy's wearing Crocs. Oh, look at this. But, like, just the... I think because in our culture, like, face is so important, like, saving face... How your kids represent you is so important. So it's like you got to teach those kids not to be naughty because they're a reflection on you as a parent. So you can understand why these things were so important in our culture, but you can also understand like the negative aspects that come along with that and how we kind of do have to change things up because we are learning, you know?
Mm.
And I think what you've been saying about understanding people, it makes it so much easier
to
not hate on them, you know, or not to step back and be like, oh, look at that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Look what they're doing.
Yeah.
When you like, you understand, like I used to be that
don't
shit.
Don't be better than them. Just understand. Mm. Like, that's what I've learned about it. Like, I just see the group I was around and just like understand, okay, I can't judge them or anything. They're just,
That's cool.
Yeah. Random question, like even for both of you, is it, something to do with like you're being like disloyal to the group? Like I know they say like, you know, your changes are something I heard, but do you think it's you're not being loyal to what we built and you're moving away? Like
sort of,
if you were to guess or
like
try
changing
and understand
things. Like when they say changes and stuff, it would usually come along when someone would be dressed different.
Yeah,
I mean they might like change their vocab a bit. Yeah, they might have a like. I don't know, they might comb their hair.
Is it because it's intimidating? Because it's something different that they don't understand?
It might be because we are like the king of tall poppy syndrome, you know? So if you see someone stepping out or like making a statement or changing the way they dress, we're like, fuck, look at that dickhead.
Yeah.
You know, but
who do they think they are?
yeah, exactly. Hard. So I reckon that's part of it as well. But also just being a minority group.
Yeah.
Like we're not the majority here. Yeah, so like when you see someone stepping out, you're like, hey, dick. Bro, you're reflecting on all of us. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Or you see like some kind of crime committed on TV and they say, oh, it's a Saturday morning. It's like, oh, shameful shit. On
again.
I think it goes a lot deeper than just saying you're a changes dude or than just saying like, I'm going to change the way my life works. Like a lot of it does come down to like our culture and how our culture works and stuff. Yeah. And then our culture like intermingling with Australian culture, Aussie culture, New Zealand culture.
Yeah, how's the change for you? Because I say this all the time, that you have like an awakening. You know, you go to a workshop, bro, I'm fucking workshop whore, bro. I go to all of them.
I see all your stuff all online. It's like,
you want to heal me? Sweet, come. And then I had to step fucking back and I was like, hold on, maybe I can like sit with this shit myself now, you know, and start to implement it. Even with plant medicine, you know, or any type of like drug where you get something out of it, you know, you feel good, you learn something, but then you still have to wake up the next day without that substance in you, without that support crew, you're alone, your kids are there, your partner's there, that's all you've got at that time. Like how's that part been for you where you've had to like practice being this new person or like implementing changes?
Implementing changes, man, it's been good. I try to, like, stay focused on being present, being grounded in where I am and try to, like, just be here with my kids. So I do a lot of things with my kids. So my kids are my drive. Yeah, my kids are my drive, man. They're my motivation. Like, anything I do is have to be for my kids because they are our future. So what I do is I just try to enjoy myself in present and be grounded and stuff and, That's a hard one to talk about, but
I think I understand what you're saying because you put up a video not too long ago where you're at the train station for your little one. Doesn't cost anything, but like making the effort to drive to the train station, push the bloody pram up to the and just sit there with this little kid. Yeah. It's like, whoa, you know, you're not getting anything out of it. You're not earning any money. You know, you're not getting to relax because it's your time off work, and like you're supposed to be like relaxing so that you can, you know, be powered up for work the next day. Like I see that as where you do it, where you are you present.
Exactly.
It's like you know that this kid enjoys this shit. It's not going to get you anywhere, but you're just like, all right, little kid, let's go. And I think that's really cool to see. Like with the content that you're putting out.
Yeah.
Not only all the jokes and stuff, but like a lot of dads can like relate to that.
Because I had a lot of friends as well online text me, man, I love you what you do with your son and stuff. Man, it's inspiring. I want to be a better dad. I was like, nah, dude, do what you have to do, man. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like fathers out there, they don't get enough recognition of what they do in life. Like, I know all the moms do.
Yeah.
Like all the mothers, they all have Instagram, all the, like their mom stuff and, like, I don't feel like the fathers out there don't get enough.
I think the fathers get kind of brushed to the side because it's a role that everyone knows that's what you do.
That's
and everyone, like, associates it with their upbringing, you know? But, like, I don't think people realize the amount of stress and strain and pressure when it comes to working, when it comes to carrying on, keeping the relationship, like, going well with your partner, comes to being a dad, comes to trying to stay in contact with your boys, comes to trying to, like, catch up with people. Bro, it's, like, a lot of pressure. And all of this shit's, like, constantly playing in the back of your head, trying to be a provider. I should be doing this. Like, you've been given this, what's it called?
Like a booklet almost.
Yeah, like an example of, like, what a dad should be. But then we don't all come from the same walks of life to be like a dad like that.
Like, with Polynesian fathers as well, it's like they put out this ego kind of manly masculine kind of way.
It's a different kind of masculinity.
Like nah, dude, you do it. It's, I don't want to do it because it looks pussy, you know? Nah, let the mum do that.
Yeah.
Like the roles, the roles that you have to play almost.
And I've realised that myself, like, why do we act like that? Like, I'm trying to understand, like.
But also, like, we all know how to clean. Like, we all, like, we can do all of this stuff. Yeah. But we don't like people watching us.
Because it's like, oh, you're weak.
But then, like, growing up, that's like the mocks.
Yeah, you would get.
It would be like, oh, your missus is telling you to go home now. Yeah. Oh, you can't come out.
You got the handcuffs on, dude. Yeah.
You got your permission slip signed.
That's a classic.
So I think, like, it's hard for guys to change. It's hard for people to, like, recognize change in their friends.
I think with the whole feminist movement as well, it put a lot of pressure on men where it was like, now we need to turn all eyes on men and be like, change your shit because you're part of the problem. And that's true to some degree. But to what point are we then shitting on those who are out in the community trying? It's not even like they're perfect. It's like, fuck, everyone's trying, but we want to turn a blind eye. And bro, yous both look different. You know, like the color of your skin is not recognized. The way that you speak is not considered professional or woke, or, you know, how you guys express, that it's not recognized in some way. And it's like, fuck, just because you're a particular color and talk a certain way doesn't mean you should get not all the credit, but fuck, there's other people out here like trying to do some cool shit. They just sound a bit different, look a bit different. Like, all good.
I think it's the generalization when it comes to that kind of stuff. All men are this, all men are that. And it's like, how the fuck can you like say all men?
In a category.
And then you got guys like us, like, fuck, I do the dishes, I change nappies. Fuck are you on about?
Like, I do everything the mum does. Like,
exactly. Yeah, I'm like, far out. But I find that as a dad, like, that's something I take pride in. I'm like, but that's my shit. Like, I I'm not one of those, like, I'd always look at dads that were like, they wouldn't change the nappies. That's my wife's job. I'm like, what the? Didn't you make that thing too?
You need to put your half into it.
Or at least, like, fucking help out, you know?
And funny thing, like, I grew up, so I had kids late, eh? So I call myself a late bloomer. You know what I mean? like, I've just noticed.
You're a dilf.
Who wants up? So I call myself a late bloomer. So I've had kids, like, late, like, really late, like, 30. I don't know, how old did you have your kids?
18.
Like,
I was 18.
I was 22.
Oh, yes, young. So that's like,
but that's kids. Quite common that's in our pretty culture normal. As well.
Like, we were late bloomers, really, if you look at it. Like, 18. I mean, that was young for my family. Most of us have, my mum was pregnant at 14, 15, you know? That was like the normal, so.
And with being a late, I used to watch, like, my nephews and nieces. And I used to just watch my brothers and sisters and just eye contact with them, see how they treat their kids and how they treated their kids. I thought that was, oh, fuck, that must be normal. So I might do that. Like, I always had it at the back of my mind that when I have kids, I'm going to probably do the same as well. And that's when this whole growth and, like, looking at myself, like, holy crap, that was, like, pretty wrong what they were doing. But I'm not frightened. Like, I love my sisters and brothers and all that, but I'm just understanding, like, oh, okay, now I understand, like, now I understand, like, this chain and cycle that's come into place. And I didn't understand what the chain and cycle back then was as an islander. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't register in my head because I didn't understand. I was like, what's the chain and cycle? I don't know what
it's like, that's just how you live.
I
was like, it was never looked at.
But now I've understood it. And now, because back then I used to see a lot of posts online about, let's break the chain and cycle. But, like, I didn't understand it when I read it. Like, what the fuck is a chain and cycle? Like, am I in it or am I not? Like, am I the chain and cycle? Like, that's the thing that I've understood about myself. Like, I was in that cycle because, like, I'm trying to change to better myself and my kids and also my bloodline, because I'm carrying my bloodline and I don't want my kids to grow up like us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a tough one.
It's like you know what's better for them now. Like, it's been shown to you. This is what's better. This is what works. And you're like, man, I can't go backwards. You know, like the example's been given.
And all the information's there right in front of you.
Yeah, man.
It's like right there. Like,
it's so easy for us to just be blame. Oh, my dad. You know, it's so easy to blame. But it's like, bro, the information's there. There's nothing wrong with us. We can read. We can walk. We can, like, bro, if you can't go out and read this information, maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're the issue.
I think it's also about finding like safe places, bro. Because if you were to have the maybe this conversation, you know, in your past environment, like it's not received, yeah. you know, and then you're like, fucking, is something wrong with me? Or yeah. like, you know, you hide parts, but it's cool that there's places, you know, like men's medicine or, bro, they're fucking everywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
men and all
these
that.
Safe spaces yeah, yeah, for men to go to, for women yeah. to go to, parents to go to.
Just it's like a big thing now, eh?
Men's. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. And everyone's. So much support. Yeah, but yeah. everyone's. Like, I find the information out there how to better yourself is pretty much the fucking same over the board, but it's about finding people that you resonate with, you know, because yeah. I think my experience of, like, workshops and all that sort of thing was in with Palangis or Pakehs,
yeah, yeah.
which was cool. I learned yeah, heaps, yeah. but something was just a bit off because I'm like, I know this is helping me, but you still don't quite understand, like, there's no the real yeah, the connection's just a yeah. little bit off. And then once you kind of, well, me coming back to my own culture and like finding my own people in somewhere, I was like, oh, fuck, I can like settle in a bit here. And like the truth more, comes out a bit yeah. more and I'm like, oh, shit, cool. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's about finding safe spaces too, you know, like yeah. with the information and then don't take the information as like, I need to do this. It's like, take it, learn it, but then fucking find your place for it to come to life in some way.
Yeah, that's the same thing with like you need to find that connection with someone. So I was doing a lot of therapy work and stuff. Cool. And like the therapy work I did with this Balangi, I was trying to explain to him that about my childhood things. And I feel like he didn't understand because like I was speaking, you know, like true blue fob. Like, yeah.
No, not only that. They can't understand the way that we grow up because they've never really had an insight yeah, into yeah. our households growing up. Yeah. The amount of family that's in the house, you yeah. know. Family coming back and forth just from Samoa, you know. People, you know.
So and that's the issue that I had going with therapy. You have to find that right person to look to have that right connection to understand you. So that was a trouble thing with me just trying to find that right because they're all Balangis and they're like, oh, okay, here we go. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's a different environment, man. Like, yeah, going into a room with like white walls and like a sitting opposite each other, and it's quite intimidating. Like, for me, it was intimidating.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, I know you're here to help me, but fuck, this place doesn't feel warm at all. Like, it feels very clinical, you know? And that's not an environment I think like Māori and Pacific grow up in. Like they're clinical, I don't know, you sit, you eat, you talk, you laugh, there's humour behind it that I think that helps as well.
Well, I think they're gradually like recognising it, but I think that's one of the hardest things about this is that we come from completely different aspects of life.
Mm.
And you've got this person that's gone to school to deal with these kind of people, yeah, these kind of behaviours, yeah. but they don't understand the culture we come from
yeah.
and cultural practices and what's yeah. important and why we have to like do these kind of things.
Yeah.
So, that's why I think men's medicine and all these other things are amazing because like they understand it, they grew up in it, but they also understand like the therapy side of it and like the different modalities that are going to like help with the healing process.
Connection to culture really is a big one for all of us. God. Not swallowing it whole and saying this is the truth.
I'm a Samoan.
Yeah.
Bro, that's what you look like when you finish your tattoo anyway.
But yeah, James, well, one of the guys we had on last week, James.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Peacock. Wait, was he the one?
He's got the Matauora.
The Matauora.
Oh, no, I was talking about the guy that did the photos.
Mike.
Yeah. He's coming.
Nah, don't worry about Mike.
Don't worry about Mike. But yeah, old mate, yeah.
James was talking about how like the driving thing behind his like his healing and all of that was culture, coming back to culture. He said he was talking about moving to Australia, earning all this money, living that kind of lifestyle. It almost numbed out like any kind of feeling towards culture that he had. And he said with the healing process, it's almost like highlighted how important culture is to him, how important it is to his healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking powerful, right? Yeah.
Bro, he's a powerful dude.
Yeah, he looks powerful and big.
Yeah. Big ball of energy. Yeah. Bro.
I seen the photo of you two and he was in the middle. I was like, holy crap, this guy's a giant.
So is that what inspired like daddy's duties? Like did you just wake up one morning or like how did that happen?
Yeah, exactly like that. And with childhood trauma and stuff, and me and my partner came up with the idea with daddy duties, like maybe you should talk a lot about raising your kids and you're like there's a lot of people out there that go through it, eh? Like but they're not really open about it. Like they hide away from it in a way that they're afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
But with me, I'm so open that I've just come out of the closet, like I said, like in this last 2 years, and I didn't know how much potential that you get of like by opening up. Like you feel so good about it. Like, man, this is amazing. Like, yeah, I love it. Like, yeah. What was the question again?
Sorry. Nah, that's it, bro.
You just explained how daddy's duty started.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And honestly, like your content is, I even hate saying the word content, but really your content is really, really inspiring. But like I was saying before, it's more so the jokes, but like the deep honesty underneath it.
Yeah.
Like you just say shit as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. And is that, like, what's your hope, I guess, or is it just something?
Like with jokes and all that, like there's a lot of platforms out there with creativities and all that, what they do in life and how they can show it online and stuff. And I love that, eh? Mm. I love the creativity that people do about their missus or with their kids and just sort of, like, I enjoy that stuff because it's fun. But my missus always gets angry at me. Like, oh, you do too much content.
Never.
Get off your phone.
Never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. It's growing, like, not in like followers, I don't mean in that way, but you're creating conversation.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. Like, cool followers, likes and all that sort of shit. But unless you're like rippling a conversation somewhere, like we'll sit and talk about things from something that we've watched from yours, you know. Not just like, oh, haha, it's funny, but like, fuck, maybe this is something, you know, like we could look at in ourselves.
Yeah, that's funny how you say about likes and all that. Like back in the days, I used to be all about that, eh? Mm-hmm. About likes, comments, and I used to get that urge about, fuck, I just got dislikes and blah, blah, blah.
It's like
blah.
Adrenaline hit.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? And I felt like I was so addictive of the likes and all that that it was a bit unhealthy until I realized that, like, oh, fuck, it's hard to explain, but I had this image about myself and the ego look about yourself. So for back in the days, I used to have this ego thing about myself, like you were a someone online because you get so many likes and blah blah blah, but it like made me feel like because I had so much to deal with back in the days that I felt like that stuff made me happy, but really it just made me because I wasn't dealing with my shit. It just fuck, it's hard to explain, but.
No, I understand.
Yeah, but
kind of like numbed it out.
Yeah, like it made me as a person. I thought I was someone because of those likes and all that. But really, it was just feeling something that was lost in me.
Yeah,
like yeah. So,
bro, the truth.
Yeah, it's it goes. I don't know if that's deep, but yeah, that's.
How did you go from like being attached to, you know, the likes and all that sort of thing to moving away from there, like, fuck, I can create like conversation in some way, because I know people are reaching out, you know, and people having conversations with you. Has it been hard for you in some way, like people reaching out and like, yo, this is really inspiring and da 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 da, or you're like, oh, sweet ass.
It's like this has only just recently happened because I opened up a chapter on social media when I said that how childhood traumas affected me as a person, as an adult now.
Mm.
And that gave space to people to reply, you know what I mean? Like, and me texting back, like, I got a few messages about, and they were telling me their, like, whole life story, and I appreciate that. It's like, man, I can really learn off this. Like, man, I feel you, like, but it's being, like, I try because I'm being so busy, like, with work and stuff. And, like, yeah, but it's been good. It's, like, yeah, I like it. It's good.
I like that you're pushing it, even though, like, bro, you're full-time, you got children. You like, got that's a big...
Baby babies.
That's, like, a big commitment. But you're still making time to, like, share a part of yourself. And I love what you said that, like, you're learning from people's stories rather than thank you so much for, like, stroking your own ego. Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm learning from you too.
I learn something every day, and that's the best thing about you never stop learning about things. And like for myself, if learning is such a good thing, a good tool to like understand people and like the growth that you have and just keep learning about new things that you didn't understand about life and stuff. It's good.
Like before we finish up, just wanted to ask, what do you hope for, like dads? You know, we've had this conversation of like childhood trauma and how we treat our kids and trying to change the narrative and, you know, like the pressure, I guess, like society and everything puts on men. Like, what's your hope for dads?
I don't know.
That's a big question.
Yeah, that's
how are you going to save the world, bro?
Yeah.
But dads could mean like one of your mates, you know, not other people on the other side of the world.
I don't know. What I do is real. Like, I just, like, if someone can see it, maybe it inspires them to do something with their kids, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just, just try to be a good father for my, especially my family and that, and like my friends, and just say you can do it too. Like,
can start at any time.
Yeah. I think what you're doing is amazing role modeling for dads out there, like even new dads, old dads, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, being as transparent as you are. And showing us, giving us a little view into your life when you take your kid down to the train station for no reason at all, just to watch trains. Bro, like, it's inspiring for guys like me as well. So fucking keep up the good work.
Yeah, cheers, brother.
Even as a mum watching you, like that, a man or a father taking pride in like, this is my role as a father.
Yeah,
bro, I'm going to have a laugh with my kids and like taking pride in that, you know. It's not like a mask that you're trying to put on. It's like, it's fun hanging out with your kids, you know. You not all the time, but like just before.
You'll get to a stage like that, I reckon.
Yeah, bro.
It's just, I need to enjoy it while they're still young and
they're
precious times for them. As but I know when they get a bit older, I'll be like that. I'll be like,
shut up.
I can burn the veggies.
No, awesome. Thank you very much for coming on, Luz.
All good, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, we'll check up all your links and stuff on the description. And bye.
Bye.